things that I say during that time of worship in which we observe the sacrament of baptism is really fitting with what I am going to be leading into here in the month of February and March. We're going to be going through a series in the book of James. We'll be looking at the entire book of James, and we'll break that book out. And the purpose of going through this series is something that I said during this service of baptism, when we, at the very tender age of what Blake's age is, we begin this process of helping children come to know and understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And so that's what I want to talk to you about today, and that's what I want to do through the book of James. We want to look at what does that mean to be a follower of Jesus. And the title of the series, I've entitled it Making It Real, and the "it" I'm talking about is our faith, genuine faith. Really, James is trying to do that throughout the letter he's writing. What does genuine faith actually look like? And I want to challenge us through this series that James is challenging us to make this faith real. It's more than just a box that I check on a survey. When you get a survey that says, what religion are you? I check the box Christian. Kind of, it's not a label. Christianity, following Jesus, isn't a label. And there's a term that we use that really does apply to baptism. Everything that I'm saying in this service of baptism is really talking about a term that you've probably heard if you grew up in the church all the time. Discipleship. Being a disciple. When you think of that word, what do you think about? What is discipleship? If you've heard it a million times because you grew up in the church, think of how would you define that? If somebody asked me, well, what is discipleship? You're always talking about discipleship. What is it? Think about how you define that. Disciple, being a disciple, is not something new. It is language that probably the church primarily uses. Back in the ancient world, there were tons of disciples. There were all kinds of teachers who had disciples. Socrates had disciples, Plato had disciples, all these philosophers had disciples. Many people had disciples. So Jesus having disciples was not something different or new. Everybody had that. But that word that we use, we probably don't use a whole lot anymore. I know I've heard it said, or maybe you've heard it said in this way or some other way. I can think of a football coach having an assistant coach, and that assistant coach goes and gets a full-time coaching position at some other college or somewhere else. And that assistant coach's style is very similar to the head coach that he learned under. And so someone might say, well, that dude is a disciple of this other head coach. And they say that because the connotation behind that is he learned how to do what he's doing through that coach, and it really looks a lot like what he does because that's who he learned from. He's one of his disciples. And so in the same way, that's kind of like what you and I are trying to do, be a disciple. We're trying to have people look at our lives and say, well, they live that way. They do the things they do. They say the things they do because they're one of those disciples of Jesus. They're one of those Jesus people. So what James is trying to do here and what we'll point out in the place we're going here in the future is understanding what discipleship is all about. The whole service of baptism is really that. It is a conversation about what discipleship means. When I use the terminology of coming into the full Christian experience and expression, that's what we want to bring our children up into. That language is really saying we want them to learn what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. And so James is challenging people in his letter about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Because something I think is very important for us to understand as the church is that we're here for this purpose. We're here to do baptisms, whether it's an infant or somebody else gives their life to Jesus and gets baptized. That sacrament, that seal, is when the discipleship process begins. For some people, it started much later in life. They weren't a disciple of Jesus till later on in their life. For other people, it starts when they're just a child, maybe a baby or a little bit older. So the process looks different for everybody, but the point of the church is to help people walk through that process. The point of the church, as much as I enjoy being here with you on a Sunday morning, the point of the church is not Sunday morning. If our Christianity, our discipleship, our following Jesus exists of getting up and driving here to some other church, if you're part of a different church, and going home and going about your business the rest of the week, that isn't discipleship. That's not how Jesus portrayed being a disciple. That's not how any of the authors of Scripture talked about being a disciple. That's just not what we see with regard to what discipleship looks like. I mean, we're trying to engulf our children, I am, in what it means and understand and help them understand what it means to follow Jesus. Because at some point in their life, just like I had to, and many of you had to, you got to a point where you had to make a decision. Am I going to follow Jesus or not? Or am I going to walk around with the label Christianity? I did that for a while. I walked around with that label. I was a Christian. I would have checked that on a box. But I wouldn't have said that I'm following Jesus. And yet all of Scripture, and James in particular, is pointing us in that direction. So we're going to begin our series of going through the book of James. There's only 5 chapters in it. And we're going to take a section of that book, that letter, and we're going to talk about it each Sunday. And we're going to give some definition to the term discipleship. So my hope is by the end of this series, you're going to understand what that means, what that looks like as we go through the book of James. So we're going to begin in the beginning. James chapter 1, verse 1. I have one verse. It's up there on the screen if you want to see it. I'm preaching on one verse. Let's see how long it takes me to preach on one verse. Now, we're not going to do this for the whole book. They'll be in chunks. There'll be sections. But this morning is one verse. And I'm going to take this one verse, and I'm going to at least share with you what I think Grace Church is all about. And I'm going to use something that you see if you look at the front of your bulletin. On all of our stuff, we put a logo and we put this little tagline, connecting with Christ, church, and community. You know, every church has their own little thing. I'm sure that is something that most churches have. I want to explain to you why I have that there. It's basically saying the same thing that many churches say, just in our own way, in Grace Church's way. And I want to use the beginning part of James to do that. And I'm going to do that this morning because that's where we're going with the rest of James. And we had our congregational meeting today. In my report, I shared where we're going to be moving in 2019 and the emphasis we're going to place on this very thing, on what it means to be a disciple. So James begins his letter in this way. James, the younger brother of Jesus. There's 4 options that scholars think about James, at who could have wrote this letter, and most of them point to James, the younger brother of Jesus. Not James the apostle, because he had already been killed, he had been martyred by the time this was written. Some scholars believe this could have been written in the 40s, meaning just like a decade or two after Jesus' resurrection and ascension, could have been then, or some are a bit more conservative and say there's more consensus in the 60s AD. That's 60 AD. So this was written very close to the time that Jesus would have ascended. I mean, there would have been a lot of people still alive that had witnessed Jesus' ascension. And James is writing this letter to primarily Jews because the first Christians, the name we use, Christian followers of Jesus, were primarily Jewish. It happened, Jesus was a Jew, and it happened within Jerusalem, and it was primarily that area where this thing got started. And so James is writing this letter as the younger brother of Jesus to a scattered group of probably Jews, and he says it this way in the very beginning, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. So I want to focus on what I think James is going to get at here and what he's saying specifically with his greeting. And it's only one verse, so we'll see how long it takes us, but you'll see these three words. You see this logo, this image is trying to communicate this. And I want to explain what it means that we are trying to connect with Christ, the church, and community in terms of discipleship, because I believe that the reason we exist as the church is for discipleship. It's not to hold services on a Sunday, although that's a part of discipleship. That's a part of what we do on a Sunday. And it's usually disciples of Jesus that get up and go to church on a Sunday, because that's what you do. There's a lot more people that don't do that. That's not a part of their life. But discipleship is not just about what we are doing right here on a Sunday morning. And unfortunately, in the North American church, we've made it about that in a lot of ways. And now there's a lot of churches who are shutting their doors because there's nobody coming to church anymore. It's not like it used to be where Sunday morning, what did you do? You got up and you went to church. That's just what you did. There were a lot of things that weren't open. There wasn't anything to do on Sunday because everything was closed. So you might as well go to church. We even created laws, at least in Pennsylvania, that you weren't allowed to be open and do certain things on Sunday because of the importance of church. Now, I'm not saying that gathering for a worship service isn't important, but that isn't discipleship. That is not what James is about to talk about. That's not what Jesus did for the life that he had for 3-ish years of ministry that he was making disciples. He wasn't just going to the synagogue. You found him in the synagogue at different times. But that's not the only thing he did. He didn't center all of his ministry around get up and go to the synagogue on Saturday and don't worry about the rest of the week. So we, the North American church, for a long time have emphasized this day and whatever time it is you meet on this day to the extent that we forgot that we were supposed to make disciples. We were supposed to help people follow Jesus and understand what that means. For some of you, you've been following Jesus a long time. For some of our older folks, they've been following Jesus for a long time. And for too long, we've kind of just assumed everybody else was going to figure it out. And we forgot what we said when we baptized this little baby and all the things we say as mom and dad, as friends of mom and dad, as the church. That discipleship doesn't stop with that baptism. It doesn't stop when you get confirmed in the church. Discipleship is an ongoing process. It never ends. I don't care how old you are. Discipleship doesn't stop. Understanding what it means to follow Jesus is a never-ending process. And so when we use this image and we use this terminology, here's what we're trying to say. When James talks about being a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm saying that all of our ministries at Grace Church, everything we are attempting to do is to take somebody through this. And it's not, well, I accepted Jesus as my Savior and now I'm good. It's not that I can point back to a day where that happened, which some of you can. I can. I can point back to a day where I know God changed my life and my following Jesus was no longer just a label. It became who I am. But if I'm counting on just that day as part of being a disciple, I'm in a lot of trouble. It's got to keep progressing. It's got to keep moving. It's something that doesn't end. That's why it's circular. It's something that you keep going through. Getting connected to God's family is an important part of that. And that's why we say connecting to a church. When my sister was moving down to South Carolina, I said, the first thing you got to do is get connected to a church. You need to be a part of a family of God, a family of believers to help you do life. Because being a disciple is not just attendance. Being a disciple is building relationships with people to help you understand what it means to follow Jesus. Is to help you realize, hey, you're not doing this alone. You're not parenting alone. You had friends standing up here. You've got family here. You've got friends here. You've got an entire church that's saying, you're not alone, and helping to raise this child and helping them to understand what it means to be a disciple. And so when I talk to people and people come to faith in Jesus, that's why I say the church, that's us. It's not this building. It can happen anywhere. The church, people, are an important part of getting connected to. And so part of being a disciple is connecting with people that have been doing this and can help show you how to be a disciple. It's like training. It's like that coach. He helped this coach learn how to coach. And now he's good at it and can do well enough that somebody else is saying, hey, we want you to be our head coach. Discipleship is the same way. We're trying to seek out people and be connected with people that can help us know what it means to follow Jesus, because it's not easy. And it's not just attending church on a Sunday. And it's not just checking some things off the list. It's being involved in people's lives, and the church is the place that that happens. Whether it's inside this building or up at my house or over at Tim Allison's house or in Melissa's house or wherever it is, or in some coffee shop where you decided to meet, discipleship happens in church. And when I use the word church, I'm not talking about the brick and mortar that we're sitting in. I'm talking about people. And that's why it's important to get connected to a church. And I know there's people out there, and I would disagree with them, that say they can know God or love God or follow God and not go to a church. And by go to church, they mean be connected with other people or get up on Sunday or whatever. I'm going to suggest to you that Scripture says that that is almost impossible. In fact, it is. Because Jesus' whole life, he was never by himself. His life is about relationship and helping these 12 guys from all different backgrounds trying to understand what it means to follow him. That's done together. That's done in a family. And there's, unfortunately, a lot of people growing up today that have not really experienced what family is supposed to be. We all have biological families, and some of them are better than others. Let's just face it. Sometimes people are excited about the holidays, and maybe some of us are glad the holidays are over, because there's a lot of family functions that are really challenging, because our biological families make life difficult at times. Even some of our extended family makes that difficult at times. And some people are looking for family, or what they perceive I'm going to get in family, with friends, and some of us have been hurt by our friends. And so God has created something that those people are going to be able to experience something different. Because the Bible, the thing that we use to help us in life, the thing that communicates us to us, the story that God is writing, this great mission that he's on to redeem all of creation, in particular all of us, is found in the Bible. That's why we use it. That's why we read out of it. That's why discipleship is a part of it. Understanding and learning it, because in that way, we think we're going to be able to know more about Jesus and what it means to follow him. And the Bible is full of language about how we're supposed to treat one another as the church, how we're supposed to treat people who aren't a part of the church, even our enemies, Jesus says. You hear it that you're supposed to hate your enemy, but I say love your enemy. And Jesus says, what good is it if you just love your friends? Even the pagans just love their friends. But I'm calling you to love your enemy. And so there's all kinds of things within the Bible trying to help us understand what does it mean to be a part of God's family. And I've said this before, the passage in 1 Corinthians, this letter that Paul wrote to this church, chapter 13 of that letter, of that book of the Bible, is often read at weddings because it's the love chapter. That whole letter and that whole chapter is specifically talking to the church. And Paul says, this is what love looks like. And I know we read it at a wedding, but really Paul is saying, hey, church, this is what love looks like. And we are trying to invite people into that kind of experience, that full expression of Christianity, the experience and the expression and this idea of what it looks like to love one another. That is part of discipleship. That is what it looks like. That is who we are. And this idea of community is not simply like Schuylkill Haven, although that is our community. This idea of community is people outside of this place, people outside of the family of God. We're talking about people that don't know Jesus. There's a lot of people outside these doors that don't know Jesus. There's a lot of people in Nepal, where I just was, that don't know Jesus. So it extends to our own community, but it really extends, as Jesus says, to the ends of the earth. And so the church, since its inception when Jesus left and said, hey, you need to go make disciples everywhere. Well, you can't make a disciple unless you are a disciple. Jesus was with these guys, walked around for about 3 or so years, and helped them see what it looks like to be a follower of his. And then he said, all right, you go show everybody else what it looks like to be a follower of mine. And so now we're at the very beginning of the church, this thing we call Christianity. In the book of Acts in the New Testament, the book of Acts is really kind of a history of the early church. Within that history, that story that Luke is telling about the early church, there's an episode where Stephen's a Christian. He's a Jew, but he's a Christian, and he's stoned to death because of his faith. And many scholars believe after that happened, there was some persecution that took place in these people that were Jews, but they said the Messiah had come. And so James writes this letter. And I want to just use our own terminology and what we're talking about as Grace Church in reference to what James is saying here. So now all these Jews scatter throughout the region. They're not all in one town. They're not just in this community. They're all over the place. And these are pretty new Christians. They would have been probably Jews who grew up in Judaism. And so they followed the Jewish laws and did all that kind of stuff. But it's a group of people that said, we believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And then they scatter. And so James is writing this to them and helping them understand what it means to have genuine faith. Because you can imagine, if they've been experiencing this, maybe they were starting to question it. Like all the hardship they were going through, they had to flee from their homeland and live in some other place. Maybe they were questioning whether or not, am I going to stick it out following Jesus? And so James writes this letter to those people. And he uses, we're going to use verse 1 to identify a couple of things. James says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's some things James is saying, and simply using that phrase, James is recognizing his own Jewish background in the word he uses for God, that every Jew would have used for God. Recognizing that that's who he is. He is a Jew. And James would have gone to the synagogue like a Jew would have gone to. And James was the leader of the Jerusalem church. In that little history of the church I told you about in Acts, there's an episode in there where there's a big confrontation over whether or not these Gentiles, these people that aren't like us, they're not Jews, and they aren't like us, they're starting to become believers. And there's a big episode in there where the church might split. It might just go sideways. And James speaks up on behalf of these Jewish Christians and says, here's what it's going to look like. And he recognizes his Jewishness, but then he follows that up and says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. James was the brother of Jesus. James could have tried to pull rank on a lot of other people because he was the brother of Jesus. But James uses the word servant as a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, because James recognized that Jesus was the Messiah and was his Lord. That is part of being a disciple, is recognizing that Jesus is Lord. Many of us have recognized that Jesus is our Savior. I recognize that. Many of you recognize that. Jesus died for us and saved us. But do we recognize that Jesus is Lord? That he is Lord of my life. He is master of my life. If I don't recognize that almost on a daily basis, I am going to struggle being a follower of Jesus. I recognize back in 2005 when God really redirected my life. I can point back to it. I can tell you what I was doing and the circumstances surrounding it. I can point back to that day. But if I just keep pointing back to that day and I don't get up in the morning and say, Jesus, you are still Lord of my life, I'm really struggling with discipleship. Because there's a lot of times, I know I'm a pastor, maybe I'm not supposed to confess this, there's a lot of times where I've tried to be Lord of my own life. And I said, Jesus, you can get behind me. I got some things I want to do. I got some things I want to say to people. And you just got to take your lordship and take a back seat. James is saying, I am a servant of God and of the Lord. That word is very important, of the Lord Jesus Christ. True discipleship recognizes that Jesus Christ is Lord of your life. And that is something we've got to recognize on a regular basis, because there's a lot of times we think we are Lord of our life. And we got to say to God, you know what, God? I messed up again. Please be Lord of my life. I know people, I've had umpteen conversations in my office with people who I would say this is exactly their problem. They think they are in charge of their life and they are making a mess of it. Now, I'm not saying if Jesus is Lord of your life is perfect. But it makes us view life, it directs us on a path that is different than if I would say I'm the Lord of my own life. I can give you those two paths. I can tell you what that one looks like, and it wasn't pretty. And maybe some of you can share that same thing. There's a lot of people looking for that. And there's a lot of followers of Jesus, people who profess to be followers of Jesus, making those same mistakes because they forgot to say, Jesus, not only am I thankful that you have saved me, but I want to make you Lord of my life. This is why this was so important. That word, in James's day, you said Caesar is Lord. And if you didn't, that would get you killed. James is choosing his word specifically. He said, not Caesar is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Part of that word, Christ, is Grace Church trying to emphasize in all of our lives that to be a follower of Jesus, we've got to take that serious. And we've got to make sure that we are saying, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. James is writing to the 12 tribes, the family of God at this point. Now, certainly in the Jewish language of it, in the Old Testament, we know about the tribes and all that kind of stuff. We're talking about God's family, Israel referred to as God's children. And these being primarily Jewish people would know that language, would understand that. And James is writing to this family of God, the church. This is the early church, the beginning, the inception. And he's writing to these people. And we're going to look at the letter that he wrote and see what he said to the church, these people that could have been struggling because of what was happening, the circumstances. We're going to hear about what he says to the church, what it means to make it, our faith, real, our faith genuine. And as a church, we need to make sure we're doing that, because discipleship is not saying, hey, were you in church on Sunday? Yep, we were there, and going home. Discipleship is saying, there's somebody back here on the road, on the path. And as a follower of Jesus, I'm willing to walk back there and say, hey, I'll walk along with you for a while. You can't do this thing alone. That's why when we stand up here with a baby and a new mom and dad, we're trying to tell them, you're not alone. It can be hard. You who have raised children, you who are in the process of raising children, you who are thinking about raising children, you who have been next to children or new children, been around children. It's not easy, is it? And what we're trying to communicate is, you're not alone in this. And the church should be communicating to people, and even people who are struggling as followers of Jesus, to say to them, you're not alone in this either. Because this is about relationship. That's what I see Jesus doing. You cannot walk away from reading Jesus' story without seeing he cared a lot about those dudes that were with him. They ate together. They slept outside under the stars. They talked all the time. They saw these miracles he had to explain to them because it wasn't sinking in, some of the stuff that he was doing. He had to witness one of his closest friends deny him on the night he needed him most. Jesus experienced life in relationship, and you can't do discipleship without that. And as the church, we've got to be willing to see those people. Maybe that's you. Maybe you need that person to come alongside you and say, hey, well, why don't we walk along this road for a little while together? To the point where then that person can say, you know what? I'm kind of getting the hang of this thing. I'm able to read this map. I'm able to walk this path. Thanks for walking with me for a while. And then that person says, hey, maybe I can walk with someone else. James is writing to the church scattered among the nations. And he's saying, you're supposed to do this where you are, where you live. It doesn't just happen in Jerusalem. You don't have to come back to Jerusalem to be a disciple of Jesus. You scattered among the nations can do this among the nations. And in fact, that's what you're supposed to do. Some scholars have written, some scholars believe that had it not been for this persecution that took place, the church would have tried to exist in Jerusalem for a long time. Just because that's who we are, that's how we operate. You know, when you're with friends or family or you're at places you don't know, you find somebody that you do know and you kind of go sit with them. If you were a part of some maybe family reunions at Christmas or something like that, oftentimes what happens, I know this happens with us, we go sit with our family. And the cousins and the uncles and everybody's over there, but we're with our family. If you've ever been in school, most of you probably, I think, have been in school, you have assigned seats. When I was in college or seminary, maybe you didn't have an assigned seat. Maybe you've experienced that. But guess what? Everybody in that class went back to the same seat they were in the week before. All the time. I mean, it was like clockwork. It's not assigned. You can sit anywhere you want. And guess what? I can tell you who's going to sit where in this church most of the time. Now, you guys are a little, nobody ever sits up here, so thank you for sitting up here. I sang a little quieter because they were up here, because I stink at singing. I didn't want them to hear me. But I can pretty much tell you where you're going to sit. And it's just, and so the church, they were good in Jerusalem. But Jesus said, you need to show other people what it looks like to walk with me. And so now they're scattered among the nations, and James writes this letter and says, look, we need to make this real. And here's how we're going to do it, because that person that you're walking alongside of, either you're the one discipling them and helping them understand, or you're the one being discipled. Because the point is to help other people come to know what it means to follow Jesus. I didn't become a pastor because I wanted to hold a service on a Sunday. As much as, you know, I like being here with you guys, I didn't do this because Sunday morning was like what got me out of bed. I'm just like a lot of you. Oh man, it's 6:30. I got to get up. I got to get down there. I got to do this, 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 and this. Now, I love doing this. I love being together, but I get the same feelings as you get. But what gets me up in the morning, the reason I do this is because I am convinced that being a follower of Jesus will change your life. I'm convinced of that. And so this is a part of that. Being together on a Sunday is a part of Jesus doing that for you, but it doesn't stop there. And Grace Church tries to connect people to that, to Jesus, confessing Jesus as Lord, but also to a family of God to do exactly what I said with this baptism, what we're supposed to be doing with Blake and every other child that was baptized in here and every other person joining this church and everybody else who says, you know what, I want to know what it looks like to follow Jesus. We're supposed to be walking alongside them because the point is, the purpose is, there's a lot of people out there on a path that you and I know is leading them to a place they don't want to go. I have to have a conversation with somebody that's very close to me about that. that says that they are a believer, but they are on a path to a place that they don't want to go. And I got to help them understand, look, this is what it means to follow Jesus. This is where your life is taking you. And there's lots of people that don't even recognize it. And Jesus says, those are the ones you need to talk to be disciples. So James is encouraging these new Christians that were Jews, that are scattered now throughout the land. And James says, I'm a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my Lord. And as followers of Jesus, I want you to know how you can make this faith genuine. That you understand it's not a box that you check on, this is my religion. It's not a place I show up at a certain time and geographical location. This is who I am. And I'm so convinced of doing life this way that I'm compelled to tell other people about this Jesus that can change their lives too. Making it real, the series we're going to do is going to be trying to give some definition to how do we do discipleship? How do we follow Jesus? What does it look like? Well, James is trying to tell the very people he's writing to the same thing, and we're going to talk about what that looks like for us, living where we live in the 21st century. And we're going to use James to do that. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that it reveals about life, and thank you for what it tells us about who we are and for what Jesus can do in our lives. God, I pray that if one of us is in here, somebody's in here that does need to reflect a little bit on these things, maybe think about discipleship, what that word means, and think about following Jesus, Lord, I pray that you would just work in their heart and have them do that. Lord, I pray that if you are calling one of us, somebody in our life that we know just is struggling, Lord, help us to kind of take a few steps back on that path and just let them know that, hey, we'll walk alongside you for a little while. God, I pray that you would help us. Grace Church, as we enter into 2019, as we look forward to this year and this series through James, I pray that you would help each of us understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus, Lord, that we would be inspired to maybe be more intentional about that. Lord, that we would maybe be looking for other people that we can help come to know you. Lord, I am convinced and believe that you continue still today in 2019, transform people's lives. And Lord, until you come back again, that is what you have called your church to share with the world around us. God, help us to be faithful in doing that. Help us to be bold and courageous in our witness to our community, which means Schuylkill Haven and to the ends of this earth. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.